This is The Power Aesthetic. I'm Paul Wagner. Today, I want to tell you guys a story about a time I almost died. I'll keep the details on this one pretty brief because they are not really important to the actual thrust of the story. But about 9 years back, I was absolutely at one of the lowest parts of my life, and I was hitting the bottle like it owed me money, and that I was pissed off and I wanted it back. I was cramming every substance known to man into my blood and inside my head. And somewhere after about a year of this lifestyle, I had decided that I was gonna try to turn things down or take a breather. And I went cold turkey from about a bottle of bourbon and maintenance beers every single day to zero, and didn't realize that you couldn't put that kind of shock on your body. The long and short of it is that I couldn't get my heart rate down. I was DTing, like, it looked like I had Parkinson's. I was pouring sweat, started having incredibly bad anxiety and panic, and then all of a sudden basically felt like someone told me that not only had I been convicted of first-degree murder, but that my whole family was dead. I can't really explain the feeling any better than that, but it was just this feeling of impending complete doom in my chest, and I started, you know, I started getting sort of like blackout stuff happening to me, and then I just felt like a hand had reached itself or tore its way inside my chest and just squeezed everything there and started tearing the veins out of my body. And it didn't go away, and at the time I made a huge error in judgment, and I jumped on my motorcycle and I rode it over to my folks' house because I was like, man, I don't know what the fuck is happening here, and I gotta be around somebody that I can rely on. And I almost passed out a couple times on the bike, and I got over there, and you know, I was trying to explain the situation, and ultimately I wound up in the ER and blacked out once I had got to the ER or before the ER. And I woke up and I had an IV in, and they had a like a Xanax drip or something barbital. And they told me that I had just had a heart attack as a result of what they called polysubstance abuse withdrawal. And I remember looking at the paper, like my discharge papers, and seeing this stuff on it, and it seemed very surreal because I was 28, I think, at the time. And it didn't seem likely that I would have had a heart attack at that age. And, you know, the doctor had said, man, you're a young guy. I don't know what's got you living this way, but, you know, you can't continue doing this or you're going to die. So as soon as I got discharged, I went home, and I was making most of my living working in a bar and playing music at the time. And I remember writing this song, Painfully Sober, on my discharge papers. I was absolutely not painfully sober, because that night I went down to the bar and I got a fifth and I drank it, and then I turned it back up and I actually started kind of going about things even harder and went out on tour, and sort of the rest is out of the story. But it didn't slow me down then. And like a lot of situations that we find ourselves in life, we don't get any clarity in the moment. We get our clarity sometime later. And in the last year, the last several months, this is, you know, 9 years down the line, I was on a business trip in Baltimore, and I started getting sort of a similar feeling to what I had felt, maybe to a lower extent. And I was in the airport, and you know, there was no way I could kind of rush getting anywhere, and you know, I didn't want to miss my flight or anything. And so I got on the airplane, and I came home, and you know, just nothing had improved, and I had this crazy sense of tightness and, you know, all this other bad shit. And I went to the doctor, and they immediately started running a bunch of tests, and I'm not a physician, so I didn't understand all of it, but they were having a lot of concerns about what was going on my EKG. And so they sent me out to a specialist, and over the course of the next couple of weeks, in between scaring the shit out of me, telling me that they thought I might have something on my ventricle or a growth in my heart and all this other stuff, a series of angio scans and then some other tests showed that I have some kind of electrical problem in my heart that basically creates mayhem in the heart, and it creates palpitations and you know, feelings of anxiety and weird adrenal dumps and stuff like this. And the long and short of that one is that basically, you know, it's not something that I'm going to die from overnight, but the heart that I've got in my body is not necessarily built to last, or to built to last as long as others might. And all of this is to illustrate the idea that none of this matters, right? I'm not special, because any one of us can die anytime, any day. I could go out on my motorcycle and I could die that way, or, you know, I could get hit by a bus, or any number of stupid, ignominious deaths could find me. And the more I started thinking about this year, especially at a point where my life looks a lot different than it did the last time I was dealing with any of this stuff, it started putting things in perspective that have kind of begun to gel for me over the last few weeks and months. And that at various points in my life, I've said to people that I was kind of exhausted, or that I had felt bored with life in general. I've always sort of had a love-hate relationship with existence, and I've struggled throughout a lot of my life with these feelings of extreme sort of ecstatic highs and really, really intense lows, which I guess is normal for most people. I would call that the human condition, and have felt often throughout my life this feeling of I'm over it. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and I'm kind of ready to go. I'm kind of ready to get on to the next thing. And anytime I feel that way, I'm always reminded of a couple of things. One is what my mother always used to tell me when I was a kid, and I'd say, I'm bored. And she'd say, you know who gets bored? Boring people. So the first one is I kind of remember that tough love line from my mom. And the other one is that there's a famous quote that said, exhaustion makes cowards out of all men. I don't want to be a coward. I don't want to be tired. So when I look at what's going on in my life at any given time, I think that this idea of death obsession, this heavy focus on memento mori, is a good thing, in that if we choose it to be so, it can act as a massive, massive driver toward legendary action, toward larger than life action, toward asking ourselves questions like, what will our lineage be? What will we generate during our life that can be a nuclear weapon aimed straight at the heart of death itself, and certainly aimed straight at the heart of any kind of apathy that we might feel, or nihilism that we might feel while we're here? The fact that we're all going to die means that we have to choose immortality. We have to choose immortality with our actions, because anything less is to say that you got tired. Anything less is to say, I'm a coward. Anything less is to say, I'm exhausted, I'm done, take me out of the fight, throw in the towel. Now, I'm hip to time, right? I understand the idea that time as it runs down, and even time as it goes on, as we get older, there is a natural happening, I think, in most people, that you feel some of this vitality, or some of this youthful vigor, or you know, kind of unquenchable fire that you feel in your youth begins to sap out a little bit. And I think that this is avoidable, and I think that it's something that's only avoidable with this obsession about the idea of time. Because we have no idea how much time we have left, because we have no idea when it's gonna be our turn, when we're gonna hear that knock at the door and it's gonna be death right there, and he's looking at us and he's saying, time's up. We have to look at this as something that absolutely puts this youthful vigor within us, because as long as we are alive, we are youthful still. As long as we are not dead, we have vitality because we still have this spirit of life in us. There is no reason that our lives have to become routine or become boring because we've gotten older or because you've got a family now or because you have a job or any of the rest of this kind of stuff. All of that shit is even more of a reason why you have to look at death as a motivator and say, did I get everything I wanted out of this? Did I say everything I wanted? Did I accomplish everything that I wanted? Because at the end of all this stuff, we've got to decide, not necessarily how we go, but we have to decide the attitude with which we will go. If we start thinking about this idea of not just choosing discipline over comfort, some fucking mundane whatever, oh, I choose this over this, choosing immortality over comfort, which is a day-to-day choice of not living life in this routine, boring way and saying, oh, well, I'd love to do that, but, or someday, or any of this other stuff that we have to look at it and we have to say, it's not gonna be someday. Because someday might not come. Because if we're saving gas up for the next round and saying, well, I still got the time, I've got a little bit in the tank for the next round, well, guess what? That round is over, man. And you saved up that gas in the tank for nothing because you already lost because you didn't give it everything that you had. There's a line in Hagakure that I was reminded of the other day where the writer says the idea that if we look in a situation and there's an option to choose life or to choose death and we choose holding on to life, that we'll die a dog's death. I don't think necessarily what he meant was any opportunity we have, no matter how stupid or how mundane or how silly, we choose death. I think that the idea there is that we live our lives in a certain fearlessness, a state of being without fear, in order to not be afraid of death, so that when we are faced with a choice between going out strong or holding on weak, we choose to go out strong because we can choose the attitude with which we will go out. There is a great deal of artwork that portrays death in the Middle Ages and in the Baroque period that shows death as a reaper, sort of this all-consuming reaper. There's kings and priests and everything either at his feet or the symbols of them underneath him with bones crossed under them or over them. And there's a banner across him that says, "Sic transit gloria mundi," which means, "Thus passes the glory of the world." The idea being that no matter what it is, it's fading. It doesn't last. Death conquers all. Mors vincit omnia. In some of these is included another phrase that after all this, it says, "Nemini parco." Nemini parco means literally none spared. And I've been thinking about this specific term, this specific phrase, quite often over the last several months, because I think that there's multiple ways to look at the meaning of it. Its obvious one is looking at death as a conquering force, the laws of thermodynamics saying that everything is in a state of entropy, everything moves toward ruin, and thus passes the glory of the world. But there's another way to look at it, which I think is a more hopeful way. And at this point in my life, I'm trying to look at things that way rather than the other way because I spent so much of my time looking at them in the most brutal or the most negative way. And I think that's to look at it this way. When the Reaper knocks and when he says time's up, I can choose this attitude with which I meet him because what I can say is, well, let me check my pockets. Yeah, I'm good to go because I didn't spare anything. I spared none, spared no life, nothing that I had to give. I didn't leave any on reserve. I gave it everything that I had, every round. I fought it all the way to the hilt. I cranked the throttle all the way up. I sucked out the marrow. I explored everything, everywhere I wanted to go. So you know what? Fuck it. I'm good. This idea is carrying me really strongly right now, not just in my day-to-day life or when I'm trying to do big shit, but in every aspect, right? Even in my routine aspects of life, like my fitness routine or my jiu-jitsu, do I want to look back at the end of a round and say, I didn't really give it everything I had? Because that's how I'm going to go when I do a competition. I'm going to look back on a fucking loss. And at least if I look back on a loss and say, none spared, I gave it everything I had, I can at least retain my honor in that loss. But there's no honor in losing because I didn't give it everything I had. If I'm in a relationship, if I'm hanging out with my old lady, do I want to half-ass that? Or do I want to tell her what I want to tell her? Do I want to take those chances? Do I want to make sure I'm giving it everything I have? In my friendships, do I want those friends after I'm gone to say, yeah, he was an okay friend? Or do I want him over the fire shedding tears at a big fire, roaring, we love you, we'll miss you? Do I really want to come to the end of my life and look back at everything that I did and say, it was okay? I'm not trying to live a life of okay. I'm trying to live a life of none spared. Because when I get to the end of it, and I don't care how that happens, I only care about the way that I meet it, the attitude that I have when I meet it. And I want to be able to lay back and look at it, every bit of it. And if I'm crying, it's going to be because I'm looking at how beautiful it was. And I want to look at the whole fucking thing. And I want to say, none spared. And it was so, so good. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this one. I appreciate everybody who's listening to these. And I hope that in any small way, these are helping you guys out, either with your mindset or with trouble that you're going through yourself. I know I've had my share, and that there is definitely something in the idea of knowing that your suffering is shared and the hardships that you've gone through or are going through are shared. You know, we've all got to die, but none of us are really ever truly alone in this world, because there's others around the world who believe what we believe, who want the best for us, even if they don't know us. And there are, never ever doubt it, powerful forces at our aid if we choose to view the world this way and look at it this way. So let's look at it this way, guys. Let's say when we get to the end of today, we'll look back and say, none spared, no matter what it was. Let's approach everything with that mentality and that attitude. Because when we get to the end of it, we'll be able to look back and say, fuck yeah, none spared. Time's up. Let's go.